I want us to take the first school of prayer after the inauguration of the new government to specifically pray for this new government. It's very important. Now, there are a number of scriptures I want to use to commence that. First of all, from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Like I said when I was speaking on Saturday, one of the mistakes we make sometimes as Christians is not to arm ourselves properly before we go into battle. And the way by which we arm ourselves is with the word of God. So let's just arm ourselves before we pray for about an hour for the new government that has been inaugurated in this our country. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said from verse 1, "First of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." In verse 3, he says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, including the head of state, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." Now let's just stop here. I read this again mostly because of verses 1 and 2. Paul said to Timothy, this is one thing that Christians must do. They must offer up entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings. You see the different words that he used there is to let us know that there are different kinds of prayers that we will say in this regard. He said we'll say these prayers on behalf of all men. They went ahead to specifically identify kings and all who are in authority. And that is referring to our federal government, referring to the state government, referring to the legislators, is referring to everyone who is in authority. Remember, he said, for them, we'll make entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings. All right? Each one of these, of course, they are different things. They have different specifications. I'm not going to take them one by one now to explain what each one means, but I just want to emphasize to us that there are different things that we are supposed to do, and we are going to do some of them today as we pray for our country. Why are we doing it this time? Because today is 2nd of June. On the 29th of May, just about 4 days ago, the new government took power. And things are really, like they say, hotting up right now, so that we'll begin to see what God wants to do with them over the next few months. But let me just emphasize this again. Jesus said in that book of Luke chapter 18, men ought always to pray and not to get what? Tired or weary. The reason why Jesus said that, I say this again and again, is because if you are praying about something, there will be times that it will appear as if you should become tired. Why do you get tired when you are praying? Because it appears as if the prayer is not being answered. If God quickly responds and you see the manifestation of what you want, all right, quickly, he will never bother to tell you, don't get tired, because you won't get tired. As soon as you finish one, you go on to another. Remember the apostles, the disciples that the Lord sent out. When they returned, they were so excited. Why? We saw demons flying out. The sick, you know, they were being healed. They were ready for the next, all right, mission field immediately. The Lord had to tell them, come aside and rest for a while. So when you see results quickly, it's very encouraging. So when the Lord says, men ought always to pray and not get tired, it is because sometimes you might not see the result of what you are praying for very quickly. And again, we have spoken to explain why these results might be delayed. One of them, which is very important for me to reemphasize again, is that we are in a battlefield. It's war, all right? As you are praying that things should happen, some people are praying that a direct opposite should happen. For example, this forest subsidy scam that took place some time ago, some people are still complaining in the papers that the people involved were never prosecuted, the monies were not recovered. And really, I didn't even remember until I read in the papers yesterday that what did we sweep that in under the carpet? Do you understand what I'm saying? So people like that, now, of course, you know, the EFCC, I don't know whether they are being genuine or not, but if you notice, they've been making arrests over the last few, well, some of you don't read papers, so you don't even know what's going on. All of them are looking like, what are you talking about? Now, so, no, really, you should be a bit aware of what is going on so you'll be able to know sometimes what to pray about. Well, I'm not making a law about that. That's just me. I like to know what is happening. But why I'm saying this, why I just went into that just briefly, all right, is to bring out the issue that such people who look like they may end up in prison and they may end up returning billions of naira that they took, you think they are sitting down waiting for your prayers to be answered? Let me tell you the truth about life. This life is a clash of spiritual power. You think men join the cult so they can just kill chicken? Just by the way, let's get real. I was meditating this afternoon, and it struck me again, even though I knew it before, but I've not been consciously, you know, thinking about it. That you saw this homosexual agenda, transgender, you know, in the U.S. now, in many of their states, if you join a public, like a gym, all right, or a sports club, when they, it's what you write as your gender that they take. If I walk in there, see what I'm looking like this, and I write female, that's it. They give me access to the female quarters. I'm not, what I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. I mean it in literal terms. And if they don't do that, I will start shouting that they are discriminating against transgender people. Transgender people don't, they are not crazy. Who's the transgender person? A man who is a man who decides he's a woman. Why did he decide? Because he woke up one day and one evil spirit said to him, "You are a woman." And he looked at the evil spirit and says, "I'm a woman?" The evil spirit says, "Yes, try it for 1 week." And the guy decides he's a woman. That's not my problem. My problem is that people are pressuring the government to make such behavior normal. So that when I was a medical student in my early days, when we were studying psychology, we discussed the disorders of objects. And things like homosexuality, lesbianism, and these transgender things, those who are transvestites, they dress, you know, cross-dressers, they were considered as mentally abnormal people. 10 years, 15 years down the line, the books had been rewritten to say they are normal, they just don't behave like the other people. Now, what I'm talking about is that is this. I realized something, I was thinking about it today. That why are they making so much inroads? Then I just realized the answer again. It is a direct satanic assault. Some occultists gather together and say, how do we promote godlessness on the earth? Because they spend money lobbying and everything. Some people sat down. A lot of them belong to the Church of Satan. They belong to different cults. You will not know. They tell you they are preaching human rights. They are not preaching human rights. They are preaching godlessness. They know. These are the people that you find every day pushing some of these agendas. And they come to Nigeria, they want to push it. There are times my mercy ends. You know, Paul wrote, got to the book of Galatians chapter 3, and book of Galatians, and started getting angry. But those, they say, let him be accursed. That's Greek. If it was Nigerian language, Holy Ghost fire, destroy anybody that preaches any gospel against this one. I'm serious. That's what Paul was doing. He gets to that point. I also get to that point. If you try to promote that Church of Satan agenda in Nigeria, I will specifically ask for the fire of the Holy Ghost. We will pray the judgment of God. We will release the demons of hell against you and everything that's connected to you. All your friends will depart from you before they are saved. Yeah, we'll do that. We will do that. We'll get angry like Paul did in the book of Galatians. Now, why I went into all of that, really to know that in life, it's a battle. As you are praying that things will happen, there are people currently sacrificing all kinds of things, including their children, to ensure that EFCC does not come to collect the money they took over the last few years. They are warring every day. And if you read your scriptures, you see that king that sacrificed his son that should have reigned in his stead. Even though it was an evil thing he did, indignation turned against Israel. Spiritual things work funny. So you see, people are using spiritual power, trying to keep things in bondage. Now, listen, let me give you an analysis. If you see, just before this current president took over on Friday,
Nigeria suffered one of the worst crises I've ever had. The last time I saw a thing like that was the anniversary of June 12th, around 1993. Especially, you know, when Shonekan was, you know, holding the reins of power. That was the last time I saw the country grind to a halt like that. So that the banks announced to all their customers, 1 p.m. we are closing down. Telecom companies sent messages out to let you know that certain people will suffer, you know, service outage because they have to shut down cell sites while they can't find diesel to buy. Fuel tripled in price, averaging nationwide. All right? But what I'm talking about that is this. I reasoned. I said, what is going on? Of course, there's a physical manifestation of the people want to collect as much money out of the old government as possible, which the CBN and Okonjo-Iweala said it's all fraud. But they tightened the noose on the country. Those fellows refused to budge. Why? They needed to have documents signed before 29th of May. Because after that, nobody is sure whether that money is coming again. Now, that's the physical manifestation. But for me, the spiritual thing behind it is that when you want to cast out an evil spirit, you hear that it tore the man, it rent the boy, saw before going out. It was the spirit saying that, I don't want to go. So it was shaking the nation. But thank God, we're just laughing. Say, this one, you are going. You know what I'm trying to explain? When Jesus said, men ought always to pray. The reason is because it is what? Warfare. As we are saying, good, justice, equity, progress, gospel. Some people say, if this happens, we lose the land. It is like the nation of Israel taking over the promised land. So they are sacrificing their first sons that should have reigned in their stead so that indignation will turn against those who are praying for this progress. That's why Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not get tired. So you won't get tired. I said you will not get tired. Our good brother, Professor Chinedu Nebo, when I read the man's comment, I knew this man was frustrated. He said, you know, you saw that power outage? It's improving now. It's getting better. In fact, in my house now, in the last 2 days. Yes, power has been so constant in my house about the last 3 days. The power is just always there. But before that, I live in a part of town which gets good amount of power, for at least for Nigeria, right? Quite good. But we're getting less than an hour a day. And that hour is like between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. They ensure everybody has slept. We're getting less than an hour a day. There was a time that for days you wouldn't get 30 minutes combined. Shinedunjibu was tired. That the capacity at that time could satisfy everybody so that Nigeria will experience at least, is it 16 or 24 hours, other 16 to 20 hours nationwide. That's the capacity he had. But all the gas plants were down. All of them. You should have read this interview in the paper. The man was frustrated. That what more do I have to do? That the last few weeks of the last administration, some people just went out of their way. These are all satanic machinations. That's why Christians can never join. To be saying, you see, nothing is working. Because when you do, you are giving your voice to those satanists so that they can work. What you are supposed to do is say to them, say, if you like, switch it off. You will switch it back on. Simple words like that. You say to them, Wole Soyinka released a song years ago. How many of you know they might ever release an album? Oh, you don't know? He released an album like 20-something years. I'm like, you don't know about it? Are you serious? He sang. Wole Soyinka sang. Okay, I'll give you a line. You know he's the one. You've heard the song. I love my country, I no go lie for inside. That was Wole Soyinka's song. Oh, you didn't know? It was Wole Soyinka's song. I don't know whether that tune was original to him, but that was Wole Soyinka's song. But what I remember is a part of it where he said, he push me, I go push him, I no go go. That's what I'm getting to. I remember that line. The man said, push me, I go push him back. But me, I'm not going anywhere.
Because that was the time where Andrew checked out, you know, those kind of things. Yes, it was the same season Andrew was checking out, Ola Soyinka released that song. The man sang. Well, I remember the song was when he said, "He pushed me, I push him, I no go go. That is, I won't agree. I'm not leaving. I will win." I used to say that when they no go, then when we first came, I'm robbers everywhere, honestly. Then I told everybody in this town that I was sent by God. You were sent by the devil. I will win. You will lose. That you will leave town, I'm not going anywhere. I don't know whether I get my point. You say, "This is your car. I'm robbers." Like I said, that makes two of us. I like it. They like it. It's my own. You will leave. And of course, all of them died. I lived. Interestingly enough, because of the job that I do, all right, in my office, I see a lot of them dead. Did I know them personally? No, it's just the prayer we used to utter. Are you getting my point? Those are just the prayers. I remember those days in Lagos, it was worse in Lagos at the time. I was a resident doctor at that time. It was terrible. It was bad. But Bishop Oyedepo would go to church and declare, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Every operation of armed robbery in this city, I curse you with divine," those were the words, "devastating death in the name of Jesus." All of us would shout, "Amen." That was Daniel speaking. When God was going to answer, he sent a Cyrus called Buba Marwa. Buba Marwa came to town and said, "What is going on here? We can sweep these guys out of town." He called it Operation Sweep. Operation Sweep was so effective that months will pass in my office. We're not aware they still shoot people in this city. They were so effective. I heard the story of one young boy that stayed in a gutter for 3 days when Operation Sweep descended on them, he and his gang. The leader of the gang was a tough guy. You know what they call tough guy? Odieshi, nothing they enter. Operation Sweep shot him and killed him while he was watching. He thought that guy was really tough, that all his charms did worked. So he was a small boy. He ran into a gutter and stayed there for 3 days. Even though those guys had gone, they left 3 days ago. He remained there for 3 days. I heard the story later when he repented. Because a man continued to pray and brethren were praying. In fact, I still remember this, our current vice president. When he came to preach in our doctor's fellowship in Luth, he gave a testimony of what happened in their neighborhood at the time when they gathered to pray because there was a siege by armed robbers. At the end of the day, when men prayed, God sent Cyrus. Cyrus came in the name of Buba Marwa and literally swept. That was how God gave us deliverance at that time. Now, what I'm trying to say, we don't relent. That's what I'm saying. So they switch off power for almost 2 weeks before the inauguration. You know, the inauguration was powered by generators. Did you know that? Oh, many of you did not know. The government hired private companies who brought heavy generators and planted them around to power that inauguration. I said, "I don't care. We have prophesied it. It will come to pass." Somebody say amen. That power will be constant.
Amen.
Because we know it's a battle. The way you are saying it should work. Some people say, "No, it can't work." If it works, it removes us from power. If it works, we lose the influence that we have in the society. If it works, we can no longer, all right, spend money the way we used to spend money. If you hear stories, my friend in Houston said that the city of Houston used to know when Nigerians arrived from Nigeria. There's a particular energy conference they come for. When the Nigerians arrive, they know they have come. They come blowing government money recklessly. Those who are enjoying that, you think they want it to end? They don't just refuse. Some of them belong to... They will go to the court. "What is going on? This government, what do they want to do?" So what do we do? "Bring goat, bring cow. If you can drop one of your children, better." Some of these men will do it. They will. I'm not kidding. These are real things that happen. But then, you know, you are a problem for them. You and me. Because anytime we rise up and speak, for everything they sacrifice, one word of prayer, we annul it. Some people, their whole family has ended because you are praying. Yes, because anytime they sacrifice, you pray. And when you pray, you annul the whole thing. They go back again. He said, this is my first son that should have reigned in my stead. They put him down. The indignation moves. They say, indignation where? Hey, do you think this is Israel? This is church. You get what I'm saying? Then you utter words again, backed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Then that one ends. He said, what else do we do? He said, go and kill the whole community. Then after a while, God says, for this battle to end, there's one, two angels. Stab that guy in the neck. And they kill a sinner. And he dies. Then things start accelerating. And hear you the word of the Lord. Certain people will die. I don't know their names, so I'm not mentioning all my enemies die. No, no, it's the enemies of God that will die. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they will, they will, they will, they will. So that freedom will come. My emphasis, however, brethren, is you can't relent. It's war. Are you getting my point? No, you can't relent. You can't get tired. You cannot afford to get tired. What do we do now? You will say the same thing you were doing before. Are you getting my point? He said entreaties, prayers, petitions, thanksgivings. My emphasis, thanksgivings. Those things that we thanked God for before, we will thank him for them again. Even though we see the opposite, we know it's the demon that's about to be cast out, that has been cast out as throwing tantrums. We will pray. We will give God thanks for it again, knowing that goodness and mercy has filled this land for our sake. Are you getting my point? See all this noise Boko Haram is making? It makes me laugh because even they realize that they are not going anywhere. The new president now came and said, okay, command headquarters for this whole battle. Take it down to Maiduguri. Hey! You know that's a good sign. It's a very good sign. So when you see them doing this, it's not that the thing is not working. It's that the people have to show they are relevant. So they keep on fighting back. Don't worry. Eventually, we win. Why? Because we have won already. Somebody give me an amen. What we are experiencing as time goes on is a manifestation, all right, of the victory that God has already given us in Christ Jesus. What have I tried to explain so far? That we must not get tired. Next point I should make, because these are the things that we used to pray. I don't care who you voted for. I'm so glad that from this platform, I never supported any candidate. You read my teachings, some of those of you who did, the one I wrote in the time of elections. I said, no matter who you like, even if prophets and visions appear to you and say, this is the next man, and the opposite wins, for whatever reason God has chosen this one, your vision, well, whether it was wrong or right, I don't know. So I saw Christians who gathered together because they felt that the plan of God can only be executed by good Lord Jonathan. The man himself was tired. He didn't even want to win. Somebody gave me analysis yesterday in the office, proving to me he was working for Buhari. I'm not saying it's true. Don't go and quote me. The man was analyzing it now. Is he not the president? Look at this, look at this. He said this man was not willing to win. That he deliberately scuttled his own re-election. When all your powerful governors at the camping and you're looking at them and smiling, you are going to. Somebody said the man was not planning to win. Everybody saying Jesus' name, we're going around, pray this man was. You don't know who God wanted. You get my point? He didn't reveal that to you. He didn't reveal it to me. He revealed it to very few people, and those who revealed it didn't see anything. We just went and voted. Why I'm so happy with myself is I didn't let my own personal things get in line. Those who listened to me privately knew who I was going to vote for. By the end of the day, when General Muhammadu Buhari won, we thanked God for it, and the whole nation began to shape up, preparing for him, say, ah. Even the thieves went to hide in anticipation. Are you getting my point? What I'm not just trying to say is that God is going to do what he wants to do, and the fact that your candidate didn't win must not affect your prayer. That's what I'm trying to say. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Because some people say, I don't see him taking office. He has taken it now. Some of them said, I don't see him staying there for long. That is a wrong thing to say. It's a very wrong thing to say. I have personally made it my own prayer agenda. If you follow me on Twitter, yesterday I pointed a lot of prayer points. All right? I made it my personal agenda. You can check it on Twitter. It's Pray for Buhari Nigeria. Four as in four. All right, the numeral four. That's why I did the hashtag. Pray for Buhari Nigeria. I pray for him that he will be healthy, that God will sustain him in strong health. As long as he's doing righteousness and what God wants him to do, God will keep him strong. He will be surprised at how strong he will be. And it's because you and I are praying for him. And that is the kind of attitude we must have as Christians. That's what I'm trying to say. All right? Next point I should make, okay, the second point I made is, one, let me go back my points again so that we'll follow together. One, we must never get tired. Number two, you do not vote for whoever won. It must not in any way affect how you are praying. You must still pray for the person that God has chosen. The fact is, it was God that chose. Let me say that again. It was God that what? It was. Let's read this scripture. It's very important. I just like just to emphasize that. Daniel chapter 2 from verse 20. He said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. And it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. That's Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. He said, it is he, verse 21, who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. You know, somebody analyzed it for me again yesterday in the office. He said, why did President Jonathan win the last election? He said, it was not because he campaigned or he didn't campaign. He said, the time was just his own to win. That was just it. He got a massive amount of votes. That is, in the South, he cleared all the votes. In the North, he was dividing votes. That is, collecting votes from all over the place. This time around, the man said, why did Buhari win the election? He said, not because APC worked. Not because of any other thing, than it was just his time to win. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's a manifestation of what this scripture is saying. It is God that removes kings. So he says he changes times. Do you understand? So the time changed because God said it should change. And then there was a time, it was the time of one man. And when that time came, it became the time for another person to step into power. Buhari worked hard for three different, you know, elections. This last one, when it was the time, men gathered, you know, the way they gathered around David and said, we'll make you king. They were buying him designer glasses. Suit. I don't think that man has worn suit in how many centuries. The man wore suit. They took him to Abias. They gave him title. That's my point. The man wore bow tie by force. At the end of the day, they delivered the thing to him. Then the man he was contesting against picked up the phone and called him and finally delivered it to him. Why? Because God changed the time and he changed the season. The time had changed. What am I going to say? You Christians, we Christians, all of us together must recognize that. It is God that changes the seasons. He has chosen who he wants to choose. Don't let your personal opinion stand in the way of your prayer. That's the second point that we're making. Now, this is the third point. Quickly, let us open our scriptures. This one scripture we all know very well, but we have not yet, we don't... read it much in recent times, many of us Christians. The Lord was talking about the principle of prayer in chapter 18 of the book of Matthew. Now, he says some things up to this level, but it's a particular principle here that applies to us as Christians from verse 18. He said, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you read some other translations, it says, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, I don't want to go into the theology of that, trying to argue, but the point is this. Whatever you bind on earth as a Christian, that God gives you the understanding and the confidence, the faith to bind, what he's saying is that it's already supported by heaven. Are you getting my point? You'll see why I'm saying that in a moment. He now said in verse 19, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Which shows you therefore that we can take the initiative on the earth. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Why did I read this? I want to emphasize to Christians again that we have the right to decide what will happen. That's it. And then, because we are people of understanding, we sync our thoughts, our desires, our requests with the word of God that's established already in the heavens. He says, this is how you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Many Christians pray wrongly, and that's why God doesn't allow the things that they are binding to be bound. For example, they want to pray. They will join a community. Assuming that this is Enugu State, and they are from one part of Enugu State that has never produced a governor. The Christians there will not start committing sin. Tell your neighbor sin. Iniquity. They will join hands and say, Lord, it is our turn. That is not written in heaven. What did I say? Hey, I didn't hear you well enough. It is not written in heaven. These are prayers that Christians should never pray. Who is us? God doesn't recognize you Christians there as part of the physical nation there anymore. He thinks you have left and you have gone into another kingdom. Yeah, they had crisis in my hospital there. It's a federal government establishment. And it was shameful. For one of my colleagues told me the other day that it's shameful to him when Christians champion some things. The man that championed the division between doctors of Enugu State origin and those who are not of Enugu State origin is a believer. It was shameful. It split the hospital into two. The painful part is that it was championed by a believer. I went and preached once in the chapel on campus, one of our campuses. And I told them, any Christian that does that again, God will punish him. I'm not kidding about it, though. Because students too carried it. Medical student associations are contesting that no student of Enugu State origin has been president the last few months. They didn't dissolve the association. I said, any Christian found there, you are under judgment. I told them straight, better go and go and repent. Because if I behave like people like you, I won't be here. There are prayers you don't pray. God will never sanction it. If anything, he will flog somebody. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. All right? There are prayers we don't pray. You don't join people when they are praying such things. What if the best person is not? You don't even know who's the best. Allow God to do his work. All right? Now, so the things that happen, we can decide what happens. We have the power. But if we don't decide what happens and do that correctly, we in effect are authorizing the wrong thing to happen. You hear what I said? If we don't decide the good that should happen, or we do something and we do them wrongly, we in effect are authorizing wrong things to happen. That's why I tell Christians, be very careful about specifics. You don't know. What I mean by specifics? Lord, we are praying that by tomorrow, interest rate should be 17%. What do you know about that? Do you get what I'm going to say? The detail is too much for you. What do you want? Economic prosperity? Say that like that. There are things that are too much for you. David said, if anything is too wonderful for me, I don't engage myself in those things. A lot of times, why our prayers don't work is that we pray very emotional prayers. Prayers born out of anger. We're angry with people. We start praying. When you see analysis, you now know why God doesn't answer people. Human analysis, they're angry. This man, you know, it was somebody from our village that was supposed to be the one that would be the special assistant. They did not give him. They now removed him. Let us pray that God will judge all of them. It's a foolish prayer point. Because he's from our village. Do you understand my point? It's a very foolish prayer point. You're going to get injured if you continue praying like that. If people rig the elections, this is how I pray. God, this rigging is not good. They said we should vote. We came to vote. Therefore, anyone who is overturning the fair counting of votes, Lord, we ask that you remove him from power and entrench justice in our society. Are you getting my point? It's general. I'm addressing an issue and I leave it there. And I will never change my mind, even if the rigging brought my wife into power. My wife didn't consider that election. I'm just trying to say that no matter how much it seemed to benefit me, I won't change my mind. I will not change my mind. Because what is wrong is what? Is wrong. That is how we bind things on earth. Are you getting my point? That's how we tell, we walk with God so that it's just the things that he wants done that we cooperate with him so he can do them on the earth. For example, it is right to pray that in this country, if anybody is in power and he murders somebody, he won't get away. Do you understand my point? Nothing personal. Nobody killed my person. Nothing. But it's just wrong because I've read in the scriptures that when you shed innocent blood, you pollute the land. And when you pollute the land, do you know even the righteous is affected? There was a time there was famine in Israel. And David went to pray. And God said to him, it was because of Saul and his bloody house because he killed the Gibeonites. David was engaged, was suffering famine in the land because of the sin of Saul. I said it before, there are prayers we have to pray. That God, like when I heard that one today, this fuel subsidy scam, I said, God, no, it can't go like that, I'm sorry. I don't know anybody, I'm not fighting anybody personally, but I said, Lord, no, it will not go like that. You will not find a man bribing, extorting $620,000 from an industrialist, recorded in camera, caught, then it disappears. In Jesus' name, no, it won't go like that. No, it won't go like that. It will, Father God, in the name of Jesus, it will not go like that.
Amen.
It won't go like that. A man cannot go, steal 20 billion naira in pension funds or 12 billion, and then he goes to court, they find him 250,000 naira. You sack the judge, which is good. And then we don't know what happened to the man. Father, in the name of Jesus, it will not go like that.
Amen.
Because we are teaching young people what is wrong. This is my prayer. We are praying for this country. I have begun to pray.
Amen.
All right? We have begun to pray.
Amen.
Our anger is against a wrong principle, evil principles. Somebody told me the other day, in a particular state, I won't mention the name of the state, man will drive around town. You're supposed to be commissioner of something or supervisor of something. Going around extorting somebody's building, you put stop work. Why? So he can come and settle you. Hear ye the word of the Lord. If you collect that money, you will not spend it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You won't spend it. I refuse for you to spend it. If you spend it, it's on sickness and diseases. You will use it to cure something that they will tell you incurable until the money is exhausted. It is wrong. We shouldn't let it go. If any policeman we arrest a man he knows is innocent and takes 5 kobo to release him, he will spend 50 naira to treat the ailment that comes with it.
Amen.
I would rather you caught a criminal and he bribed his way out. I won't say anything. In this due season, let God judge you. But that you know is innocent and you put him, lock him up, because from there you will get money. Dear Father, anyone in this new dispensation that does that, he will use exactly 10 times that amount to solve the problems that will come into his life and his family. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wherever he pays his tithes to, the church will have troubles. Amen. Especially when they know where his money is coming from. They will, oh. They will. Once he pays, the pastor will just know that things start going wrong. He paid today, tomorrow our building caught fire. Waiting. After a while, I say, oh boy, come. And these things are doable. I told you a friend of mine, you heard the story.